Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 175 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Unidad Trauma with 33 Ars Sinistra. I'm sure I said it wrong, but it's Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I can mumble my way through it sometimes, but usually I have no idea what's happening with Spanish. That song is from their debut EP. It's called Arte Medica Siniestra. It came out on May 18th through Concreto Records, and they are a death metal grindcore faction, they call it. I say they're a group. I think that sounds better. I don't know why, but I find it very interesting and surprising that these guys appear to be made up of four different doctors. Who knew that four doctors in Mexico were playing grindcore? If that is of any interest in you, then you should check them out because it's quite good. They got a video for this song, so go find that somewhere on the internet. You can probably follow the link in the notes below. But until then, go find this EP again, Arte Medica Siniestra, whatever I'm trying to say, by Unidad Trauma. I'm bumbling my way through this one already, but that's okay because this one is basically the mistake episode. I'll fill you in more about that in a minute, but this episode features an interview with Kayan Varizi of Yautja. We're going to talk all about their new album, The Lurch, which is coming out. Well, it's already out on Relapse Records, and I'm sure you already know it's fantastic. So let's do that intro music and then get moving.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitches? It's the illustrious Hot Dog back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? He said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. He said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out! Alright motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, Jay Money, and LFTW forever!
Okay, welcome. Episode 175. Why is this a mistake? Because I forgot about it. I forgot to do the podcast. I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning today, and I looked at my wife, who happened to also be up for some reason, because we just wake up at random times in the night, and I was like, hey, I didn't do the podcast. And she apologized to me, which was really nice of her, but I'm not sure why, because it wasn't her fault. You know whose fault it was? It was Memorial Day's fault, because we had a party on Sunday, and it wasn't the party's fault either. It was just the fact that I didn't have to work today. So I forgot which day of the week I was on. So I didn't do the podcast like I normally do on Sunday nights. I just went to bed and then woke up and I thought, okay, well, there's no way I can do this quick enough because we got Memorial Day festivities, parties to attend, people to see, handshakes to make. Is that what you do with handshakes? You do them, you make them. I'm not sure. I had to go to my brother's house, so I'm doing this now. So it's out on Tuesday. That's the release date. Now, you know what? I'm just going to put it out as soon as I finish, so probably late Monday night, but that's okay. I put a Getting It Out radio episode out there to hold you over. I know you were all waiting with bated breath on this national holiday for a fucking podcast. I highly doubt anyone even noticed, but if you did, I respect that. That's very cool. Thank you for noticing that this podcast is a thing and that it does exist. It still goes on. I will not miss a week. How about that? That's the new standard. I still haven't missed a week in almost 4 years. So that's pretty good. Coming up on about 175. That's a pretty big milestone. Almost 200. 25 more. How many more weeks is that? How many more months is that? More importantly, you tell me. Put it in the comments because I'm not gonna do that math right now. I can't. I'm half watching a Sixers game right now, trying to wrap up this series with the stupid Washington Wizards. And it's not going as easy as it should be because my man Joel Embiid is hurt. So I'm a little concerned about that. So sympathize with me for a minute if I seem a little flaky. But anyway, I think now we should just move on to the interview because why the hell not? Let's do it. But first, I'm going to play you a song by Yautja. This is off The Lurch. It's called Wired Depths. We'll be right back.
I'm good, man. I worked and I rushed home to try to get a workout in before this call, and I off-timed it by about 10 minutes.
That's all right. That's one thing I can respect, the workout time. I try to fit them in myself, and usually pretty successful, but sometimes not. What do you do for a workout?
I'm doing like a lot of lifting shit right now. It's called boring but big. So I want to be exactly that at some point. I did deadlifts tonight, so that was fun.
That's an adventure I've never gone down. I don't know how to lift heavy at all.
My brother turned me onto it.
I feel like I'd fuck my back. I fucked my back up last week just lifting light. So
the deadlift can be treacherous in the back for sure. I've definitely finished a workout and been like, oh, that, I feel okay. You know, I don't feel fucked up. And then like you wake up at 4 a.m. and you're like paralyzed in your bed.
Yeah. Well, last week, this is way off topic, but last week I was just doing this stupid workout app. Cause I find if I have these little shitty workout apps, it keeps me, just keeps me accountable. Like it reminds me to do it. And it was just like, make me do it 30 days straight. So I was doing it. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go out for a run because I'm on like a half marathon running program too. And
nice.
So I did the little, it's like, I'm telling you, it's 12 pound weights. That's the whole thing. It's 12 pound dumbbells. It's not big. And then I went out to run and I got like 2 steps and I swear to God, my legs like fell out from under me. Like I almost fell on my face in the street. And I came in, I was like, what the fuck? My back was destroyed. But then stupidly like I am, I just stretched a little bit and then went out and ran 4 miles like that. And then that, you know how it goes from there. The next couple of days,
yeah.
I can't move. But
the injury creeps on you. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this is not a health and fitness podcast, by the way. This is this is called Getting It Out Podcast. And I talk a lot about, I don't know, what would you call it? Extreme music. It's hardcore. It's metal. It's punk rock. It's whatever the fuck I like. And Yalcha is one of those things. And you can correct me right away. Have I been saying that name wrong the entire time?
That's correct. That is correct. I mean, like maybe that is actually wrong, according to like Predator lore nerddom. But no one has since corrected us on that. So we can only hope, you know.
Well, I see you guys get a lot of Predator fan attention. Is that what the band was intentionally named after? Is that where the word comes from? Because I didn't know this until I read comment. Yeah. I read comments on your shit by Predator people. Is where I found out.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, if we're like on tour and like I want to like see if anyone's taken photos or like videos from a show the night before, I'll try to get on Instagram and look at Yalcha hashtags, and for every like 50 like Predator cosplay or like Predator action figure post, there's like one clip of us playing. So yeah, definitely it was like, I mean, Tyler and Shibby, drummer guitar player, they came up with this name in like 2010, so they're a little bit younger than me, so they were like just like 20 and 21. I think Tyler might have been 19, honestly. Yeah, he's not 30 yet.
Right, so they didn't even see.
So I don't think at that point it was like, do what?
So they didn't even like, they didn't even exist during Predator Prime.
Yeah, like they didn't, I don't think they realized like that they were going to even be in this band for, 10 years or more. So right. Like just picking a name like that was like, that's cool. You know, like Predator's cool. Like, yeah, this is like another name for it. And we definitely had a point. I think before we put out our first full length, I was like, yo, so like, we're putting out a record. This is what we want our name to be, right? Just like double check in with everyone before we move forward. And we were all kind of like, it's just a name, dude. Like, you know, like, think of all the sick bands where like, if you didn't know they were a sick band and just saw the name, you'd be like, what the fuck? But, obviously the substance is the important part. The name is not even secondary.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I'm kind of glad we don't have to name, like not to knock on any, like, death metal bands or, like, you know, people like, doing the old school shit, but I'm kind of glad we don't have a name, like, you know, like Repugnant Sewer or something like that. Like, I kind of think it makes us stand out a little bit, even though people can't pronounce it and it's been spelled on, like, you know, small, like, venue marquees and signs and flyers and shit.
It's definitely one of the things that drew me to you guys back then. Back, I want to say you guys first came in on my radar on, I don't know, what was the first one? Songs of Descent? Is that the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's the first one. So like 2013-ish, something like that, maybe?
Yes.
And I know, like, all right, in the world of a guy who gets a shitload of promo emails every day, it's fucking hard to for something to, I don't know, jump out. And sometimes all sure. it takes, and this is as petty as it can be. Sometimes all it takes is a band name that starts with one of the letters at the end of the alphabet. like that's
yeah.
all.
Oh yeah, I mean, totally.
And Yalcha was that, and I remember checking you guys out way back then, and being into it. And then it was like, what the fuck? I didn't hear anything from you guys since then. I know you did things, but it also involves me kind of getting out of touch for a minute. But then now I see you guys popping back up and like, oh, this is great. I thought they were done. I thought Yalcha wasn't a thing anymore. But here you are in right as the pandemic hopefully is slowing down, Yalcha is reappearing.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Yeah, I mean, like, so we did that full length, and then we did what we called an EP in our label, but it's really, like, it's over 30 minutes worth of music. You know, there's, like, grind bands that do shorter full lengths than that.
Right.
We did Songs of Descent, then we did Songs of Lament, and then we've done, like, a handful of splits. We did this, like... live and remastered some older songs, like a one-sided etched LP thing. We did an audio tree session, if you know what that is.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A live video.
A high-quality live.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's super nice. Very stoked we got to do that. But yeah, this is like our first big thing in several years. So I think a lot of people... if we weren't touring as much as we did, like, we did a ton of touring without doing, like, a third bigger release. I'm sure a lot of people would have thought that we were, like, done or, like, on some hiatus or something like that. But we took a while to write and finish this record and did, you know, work and family shit comes up and we toured a lot. We all play in other bands. So, yeah, we're stoked to finally have another full length out and reappear after the hopeful end of this pandemic.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was a lot of me not being aware of where you guys at was me being out of touch, because I do know that there was a lot of stuff that did exist, but this is the, like you said, the first big thing that that you're visible for, and one of those reasons is that it's your Relapse Records debut, right?
For sure. Yes. Yeah. That's like the biggest thing. Biggest label we've done anything with, so we're pretty stoked on that, and obviously it gives a little nudge in the visibility area.
For sure. Well, to go back, before we go forward, where Yalcha is out now, can we go back for you personally, and just go
sure.
go maybe when you, where did you grow up? You're in Birmingham, right? Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, then moved here as a kid in Birmingham. Grew up here. 2015, I moved to Nashville, and that's when Yalcha started. Well, not 2015, I'm sorry. But 2010, I moved to Nashville, and that's when Yalcha started. And then I moved back to Birmingham in 2015, and that's where I am now.
All right, so at what point and how old were you when you first discovered heavy music or your love for it? And I say heavy music as a generic term because you know what I mean.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, always loved music, even as a little kid. And then, you know, like, typical for most heavy music fans, you know, somewhere in the fourth or fifth grade to middle school area, started like hearing like shit on the radio or like MTV, like new metal shit. And, you know, a couple of bands from that opened up the door to like legit metal and hardcore. You know, all since I was like, I guess 15, I started playing shows, at a DIY venue here, played in hardcore and punk bands, started touring when I was 18, you know, until now. And yeah, started off in like, this hardcore band called Die Young, who's like still together on and off or with different members.
Wait a minute. Die Young, like from Texas, Die Young?
Yeah. That was like the first band. Like that's, I played out of town shows and shit.
I got it. That's but, the reason I say that like that is because I was just on the phone last night with Daniel, talking Tooth and Claw.
Yeah. I'm still keeping in touch with him. Shit he's doing now is rad. I think their record comes out the same day.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of what like the band I like cut my touring teeth with. Toured with them. You know, worked odd jobs and went to community college in between touring. I had a band from here called Legion. That's like a hardcore band. That's probably like the longest running band I've been in on and off. We still randomly play shows. I played in the band Coliseum from 2012 until 2015.
So you got a big resume.
I just wasted a lot of my life. you know, touring and writing and recording and. Yeah, but yeah, Die Young, Coliseum, and Yatra are like the bigger bands that I've spent time with. Not the bigger bands, but the bands that I've spent the majority of my time with. And then that band Legion from here, we did a couple tours, but nothing serious. Just like a hometown type of band.
Yeah, well, Alabama, I'm in Pennsylvania. When I think of bands from Alabama, the list is short, but not because there aren't bands there. It's just because I don't realize that they are from there. At least that's what I think.
Sure.
Like,
No. I mean, it's a very short list, and, you know, especially depending on, like, what type of music you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, I was talking to, I forget who I was talking to recently, and I think the only band we could come up with from Alabama, which is how it goes, you know, again, goes to show how out of touch I am, was Love Is Red. Is that an Alabama band?
They were from northern Alabama. I think a couple of them were from southern Tennessee. I dug that band, you know.
Like, I did too, yeah.
It is what it is. like, you know, it's kind of cheesy, straight edge shit. But, you know, like when I was younger, I dug it. And I think they're playing a show. Because, you know, that Fest.
Furnace Fest. Have you heard of that? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so they're playing like a... I saw they're playing like a reunion set. Like the day before the Fest starts in Tennessee. I was like, oh shit, okay, yeah, you know this band.
Nice. I remember getting their demo while they were on tour up in some random spot. But I remember I feel like it was them that called it Dixie Hardcore, which was a tough sell.
Yep. But... Yeah. I had a shirt that said Dixie Hardcore on it, actually. They supported some bigger, like, hardcore and metalcore bands at the time. So I feel like it's funny you mention that because I really wouldn't think about that. But they got out there a little, like, a good bit in those couple of years they were around.
Well, who would be the biggest band in extreme music from Alabama? Just that I'm missing.
Dude, I mean, honestly, like, the biggest bands in extreme music that come out of here are, like, bands that, like, are not really like in my world. They're like more of like the metalcore.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah.
Kind of like that techie mosh type shit, you know? Like,
right.
Like, you know, not knocking on them, but it's just not my thing at all.
Sure. I got you. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what that one's called. They put out a record a couple months ago. Shit. What are they called? I see one of these dudes around town. I'm like, that dude looks like he's in the metal. I've never seen him before. What are they fucking called? Oh, Era, ERRA.
Okay, you know why I know that name? Because they record here in where I live,
okay,
with Carson Slovak, who is a producer who lives here in Lancaster where I'm at.
Okay.
And that's who they record with. So that's the only reason why I know that. I never heard the music, but I know that because of him. And yeah, they are pretty big, aren't they?
Yeah. They're like, you know, like, obviously I know their name because they're from here, but you know, there will be bands like that I see like pop up on like a local venue's calendar. I'm like, what is this band? And like, never heard of this. And they're like, you go to their music page or like social media and you're like, oh, they have like a 500,000 fans. I've never even heard of this shit. Okay. It's metal. Right. Yeah, dude, like, there's so many great bands from Birmingham and Alabama, but there's this like weird curse here where like, as soon as bands get like as good as they can be and like maybe even release a sick record, they just like break up. Like, I think it's just like the type of thing where like, you know, it's Alabama, so like you don't live in like a major market, you don't even like live in a big regional market. It's like the biggest cities you can go play from here, like, that makes sense if you're not on tour, is like Nashville and Atlanta. And you know, I've just seen like so many bands from here of all types of genres like open up a show and completely like mop the floor with the headlining band. But then they're like, I'm like, are you guys gonna tour? Like, you guys gotta like do a good recording and put stuff out. Like, no, our drummer's going to college. I'm like, no, our buddy's moving here to like work for his dad's company. I'm like, okay. I did it.
Career minded. Smart. It's probably the wise thing.
Yeah. They're actually making a good decision, but it just bumps it out because they made cool music.
Well, maybe Alabama hasn't been too successful in getting their band's names out there, but or getting, you know, on a bigger scale. But you guys, 2/3 of your members are in Nashville, right? And Nashville, or Tennessee, let's just say this, Tennessee, I've noticed lately, is fucking killing it. There's so much good stuff coming out of Tennessee. And
it's
from Memphis to Nashville and other places in between. That's two cities I know in Tennessee. So Knoxville, I can name a third. But I mean, and across several genres too. Noel is one that I think is fantastic. Was reserving dirt naps out of Memphis.
Brandon reserving dirt naps is like a long time friend of mine. So yeah, I'm glad to see them doing shit. And Noel's tight, like, they're super young dudes, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, still, like, college age or...
Some are in high school.
Yeah, that's sick, man. I saw that they did some, like, live road burn thing, and I was like, shit, okay, like, that's badass. Like, it's a great opportunity for them. I hope they keep doing shit.
I did too. I had Jamie, their vocalist and noise guy, on here. And, you know, speaking with him... And talking to him afterwards, even keeping in contact afterwards, it was just like, dude, there's no way that this band doesn't succeed with the attitude and the energy that these guys are bringing to it. So it's like, there's no way it doesn't. Like, there's too much. They've got too much going for them. It's gonna happen for them.
Yeah.
As long as they stick with it, which is really hard to do for a band like that. But it's awesome. I'm stoked to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. With them. Yeah, I mean, like, getting even a little bit of attention and being that young is good potential to do some good shit, for sure.
Well, so how do you, I don't know, like, geography-wise, Birmingham to Nashville, how does the band work with you guys? Do you travel to do practices?
Well,
do you...
Yeah, like, it's like 2.5 hours if you haul ass. So,
wow.
I mean, I've done that drive so many times that it's like, it's fucking nothing to me at this point. I mean, it still sucks, but it goes by super quick, you know, like, listen to a few records or a podcast or something and I'm there.
Yeah, that's not bad, though.
They definitely, like, put in, most of dudes definitely put in work without me sometimes. And then, like, will send me a demo of something they've been fucking with or some riffs. But yeah, I usually go up there to write, or get ready for a tour or something like that. Every once in a while, I'll come down here, but mostly just commuting up there. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I guess that's not too bad. It could be worse. But, you know, with I was you know, having this conversation recently with a lot of people, specifically last night with Daniel and those guys, the idea of a band being different places isn't that far-fetched these days, you know? It all kind of works out. But,
oh, yeah.
But has that had anything to do with why it's been 5 years between records for Yalcha?
Yeah, I think it has. It definitely has a little bit to do with that. There's like a good 2 year chunk where my dad and I opened up a business together, and I was working like 80 hours a week, and trying to do band stuff. And I book shows and do sound at a DIY venue here. So in between that work shit and doing that, it was pretty rough. And Yalcha even did a couple of tours in that time with that too. But writing during that was pretty slow. And Tyler and Shibby have other music projects too that they, spent chunks of time recording with or doing tours. That took away from it a little bit. Same for me, up until 2015, Coliseum was doing shit. But yeah, the distance, obviously it's a factor, but not a huge thing. There was just other life shit happening. And then, you couple that with the distance and it just multiplies it. Cause it's I have to work from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. today, but maybe we can get a quick practice in. But that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
Having to drive 2.5 hours unless you're a fucking psychopath. But yeah.
Meet halfway. There practice at the rest stop.
Everyone.
Yeah, that
happens. So should have had a sports unit in North Carolina.
So when was this album? Was this album? Was The Lurch? I don't think we named it yet. The Lurch, right? Which I assume is not about the butler.
It is not.
Because I was thinking you could have picked a bunch of different butlers here. There could have been what's the guy from Fresh Prince? the Jeffrey, you could
Jeffrey, yeah,
you could have done
Alfred,
yeah, the Alfred, yeah. But this is not The Lurch, the butler. This is The Lurch, something else. Right.
Yes, I'm glad you referenced that because when we were talking about the title of the record, I was that wasn't my. I love the title; it fits perfectly with it's in a song lyric on a song "The Weight" on the record, but it also applies to other songs on the record and even the record itself. I was like. The first thing people think about is going to be the fucking Frankenstein butler from...
You rang.
Monsters, Or Adam's Family. It's Adam's Family, right? Yeah. I'm waiting for, that to pop up on message boards and YouTube comments, et cetera.
Oh, YouTube comments. I'll get to that later because I was reading your YouTube comments recently. But back to The Lurch. Was this all written recently, or was it all written over this 5 year gap?
So parts of it have been written. At least a riff in the song has existed in a 5 year period for sure. Would say maybe half of it was written in the past 2 years, 2 or 3 years. But we really fine tuned shit within the past year. Not the past year, but a year leading up to recording it. We were doing this thing where we were okay, we're not going to do any tours. Unless we get offered some crazy shit, we have to take it, but we're not going to do anything because we're going to finish writing this record. And then we would get offered something that we thought was sick. So we did that. I guess I started in 2018 because we didn't do very much. And we got offered a tour with Revocation, Exhumed, and Rivers of Nile. And we were let's do this big metal tour thing.
Yeah.
And then 2019, said the same thing, and we didn't really do anything all year, but then got offered like a shorter and then a longer European tour, and we had never been to Europe as the Astros, so we kind of had to take those. And then we actually recorded this record at the end of January 2020.
Yeah, so right now we're getting a lot of records that are basically a product of the pandemic, but you actually recorded this right before it all hit. Since you got the record done before this shit started, how has it affected the Lurch?
It was, you know, very thankful that we got this done, at least the traveling and being in close quarters part done right before shit hit the fan. Our 2020 was way, you know, everyone was different than they thought it would be. But ours was like, okay, we're going to like do this in January. We weren't signed to Relapse yet. So we were like, we're going to, you know, find someone to put this out or even fucking put it out ourselves or with a friend. And then we're going to like tour hard. You know, this will come out in summer of 2020 and we'll tour for the rest of the year. But once everything started shutting down, and like that kind of just slowed the entire process of like, you know, even mixing and mastering and getting artwork done. Then we signed with Relapse, and like even that conversation was like, this was like after like all the socio-political shit hit the fan in the summer and the pandemic, and I was like, I feel dumb even like hitting someone up to like release a record right now, you know, like
yeah.
Everyone's got all kinds of other shit going on. I'm sure like every label already has their plates full and have slowed down with stuff and someone's touring. But I was like, nah, fuck it. You know, I'll reach out. And, normally you want to get a record out as soon as it's done, at least the tracking recording part. But that all just got super prolonged. We were even like, should we like sit on this until we can tour when it comes out? But then we're like, no, let's make it happen.
Yeah, well, that's been the debate that I've had with a lot of people. Not a debate, but the discussion with a lot of people. A lot of people in bands has been the sit on it or release it. I like the idea that people that were just releasing their music during this time because nobody else could do anything, you know. We don't have anything else to do. So, putting out records, yeah. Getting familiar with records. I do see now that, you know, now that we're over a year into this, I do notice myself forgetting about records that came out around this time last year that are really good. And I don't know, maybe that's just my short attention span.
It's really different. Like if a band's, touring is huge, you know, like. Even if a band doesn't come to your city or like you don't go see them, like that's just a huge thing with like keeping momentum from a release that comes out.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just seeing a clip of them playing live on social media or something, you know, as you're scrolling by, it's just like, you know, it keeps them fresh in their mind or in your mind, and that everybody was kind of robbed of that this year, but it's not something that could have been seen. I mean, smarter people than I would have known this ahead of time, but it's not. But someone like me who thought, "Fuck it, put it out," might look at it now and be like, "Okay, I see where you might have lost some momentum there." But people are doing the things that they can do, and one of the things that you guys can do or did can do and did was put together a video for Tethered, which was Tethered the first track that you released from this.
Yeah, that was like the first. I guess to call it a single.
Single. Did this video come out alongside that, like initially?
Yeah. So we did Tethered, and you know, the song and video drops the same day, and then about a month later, we did the Spectacle song and video. We've got one more coming out when the record drops a week from this Friday.
Well, tell me about the video for Tethered. What is happening here?
Let's see. this was my concept. And, you know, this is probably from like a day when I had just been like off work and eating edibles all day. but I was like, okay, you know, like, can I have someone, you know, Tethered is like roughly referring to be like tethered to technology in, you know, a couple of different ways.
Well, I got to tell you, I didn't know that until I watched the video. And then I was like, okay, yeah, now that makes perfect sense. I understood it immediately.
Chef's kiss, man. Because, you know, me conveying my
it worked.
Artistic idea, it worked. So it's supposed to be this dude's like doom scrolling on his phone, you know, like a lot of people were doing last year. And then his phone dies, can't find a charger. And he's like looking around and something catches his eye out the window. And he sees this fucking weird dude like wrapped up in wires and cables and shit who's like kind of beckoning at him. And then so he like follows him into the backyard. And they go out and he walks up on this like the dude he was following and this other monstrosity of a dude who's like hooked up to all these machines and wires, and he somehow produces a phone cable out of his mouth, and the dude can finally tether himself and get charged up and go about his business of consuming ones and zeros.
Which is what we all want, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, like I had this idea. I was like, dude, I'm going to get this guy. I know that, I did a couple of call scene videos with, like, years ago. And he's fucking sick, you know, like, doing big shit. But like, I feel like he probably has a higher, you know, cost right now to do work with. And obviously, because he's been doing great shit. So I reached out to him, and, you know, it was, like, way more than I had a budget for. So I was like, okay, let's go the complete opposite direction and do, use our friend's VHS camera. I went to this crazy like junk thrift store, and for the couple hundred bucks, I'm like the oldest, weirdest technology I could find there. Like,
yeah,
weird monitors and tape decks and cables and machines. And us and a couple of friends just met up behind Tyler's house. He lived on an old golf course. I don't even know if they use it anymore, but they definitely have been using it during the pandemic and it was snowing. So we like just did this shit in his backyard and then like stumbled off into the golf course and it's like weird gazebo. It's definitely funny when like random people like walking their dogs come by and just be like, what the fuck are these people doing out here?
Well, it's funny that
fun, man,
it's funny that it was a golf course, because I was watching that thinking, is that a fucking golf course? Only because there was a flapping flag in the background of and I was like, what would that be other than a golf course?
Hell yeah. the deck of an aircraft carrier. Yeah, it was fun. And like, we are definitely not a band who's ever been like, let's make a music video. We had a small budget for it, and we were like, fuck it, you know, let's do something like definitely not serious, but fun. And that has to do with the song. And our friend Frank, that works with Relapse, he helped us out in the spectacle video, did a fucking sick job. He does awesome videos and does all kinds of like really nice, live recordings of shows.
Yeah.
And then we did something last week with a buddy in Nashville that's going to be coming out the 21st with the record.
Awesome. Well, I think that's one of the things that people would definitely need to be taking advantage of right now, when this is basically all you can do. And fuck it, but you guys have shown the budget doesn't mean shit. Because, you know, I could watch Tethered again, you know, and it was, and I got the point, like, too, like, and what I like seeing as well is that there's a sense of humor in a song that you might even consider the song serious, you know, but obviously you guys had a good time making that video. And, you know, there's certain things like a guy, like someone who gives a shit, like, just noticing the DIY ethics of a certain band, and especially you guys with certain elements of your sound, to see it, like, to actually physically, or, you know, see it with your own eyes is very cool, and I appreciate that.
Sure. Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, like, it's absolutely, like, musically and lyrically a serious song, and, like, we are a serious band. Like, you know, we don't want to, like, we're in no means or way, like, you know, like a joke band or anything like that. But, like, we definitely never have and probably never will, like, take ourselves too seriously as far as, like, the way we, like, carry or present ourselves. Like, I don't think we'll ever be a band, you know, that will, like, you know, everyone's, if there's going to be any talking in between songs on tour, it's going to be in our normal voices. you know, no one's worried about what anyone else is wearing on stage, even if it's like ridiculous. You know, Tyler's pretty famous for wearing his short shorts and his boots while he plays, but they have proven to be effective. So,
right.
Yeah, I told someone the other day, like, there's this show review of us playing in, I think, Montreal, maybe Toronto. And, like, the show review starts off with the dude talking about how each one of the band members looks. So, like, he, like, talks about how I look like this metal dude because I'm wearing, like, an Aranoir shirt and, like, I'm in, got black jeans and boots on. He talks about how Tyler looks like he's, like, a Grateful Dead roadie because he's, like, wearing some weird tie-dye shirt. And they said Shibby looks like he plays in Car Seat Headrest, who I'm not familiar with, but apparently they're like a very, very soft indie rock band. So I like that the review started off with, like, you know, our what we were wearing. I wish more people would do that, honestly.
That should be the number one focus, the visual first.
Yeah. These guys look cool as fuck, but they were terrible. Yeah.
Well, speaking of visual stuff, you got some fucking crazy artwork on this record, and I'd like to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like to say it's a little bit in line with the album covers you've had in the past. Only in the fact that it's always this kind of jumbled mess. I don't mean that in a negative way. You know what I mean? Like, but
sure.
It's kind of like there was Songs of Descent had a little bit of color to it. Songs of Lament was pretty black and white, right? But everything was all mixed up on all of them. And now this one, it's like you've got like a fucking Lisa Frank binder exploded. What's happened? Where did this come from?
Yes, it's like we wanted to go for like a pipe bomb inside of a Lisa Frank folder. So the dude who did it, his name is Brandon Gertz. He's done a couple of shirts for us. He did the artwork. We did a split with this band called Forn, F-O-R-N.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a little accent over the O. He did the art for that. That's fucking sick stuff, man. Like super, like angular, like weird, fucked up, sometimes colorful, sometimes not. A lot of weird, like body horror, like human figures type shit. But yeah, it definitely is like unique, but still in line with previous artwork we've had. We usually just reach out to like a friend of ours that does art and we're like, hey, here's the record, here's the lyrics, make something fucked up for us. like Songs of Descent, you know, that's like a painting. This one's a painting too, like it's an actual painting. That's a weird painting collage thing. Songs of Lament, we had someone doing the artwork and they had this crazy concept and we were like super stoked on it. It was going to be like a weird optical illusion thing. But it just like didn't work out. I don't know. It was kind of a bummer, but maybe we'll still do something with him. But then we just had a buddy do like a digital thing. And it turned out fucking sick, but still, you know, fit our vibe and fit in line with other artwork. And then, yeah, Brandon painted this fucking monstrosity for the cover of this one. We're fucking stoked on it.
Yeah, it is very cool. And, you know, I've only seen what's available on screen, but I bet it looks sick on a fucking LP.
It looks sick in person. Cool back cover, too. So, yeah, I'm stoked on it.
With this being... I guess, would you call this the third LP for Yalcha? Third? I guess
yes,
not.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Okay, okay. So third LP.
I would call it the third LP. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I was saying earlier, it's not technically our third full length, but right. Yeah, it's our third LP.
What would you consider different about this record from the others? musically?
I think I don't think our sound has evolved a crazy amount. I mean, I feel like it's become a little more fine-tuned. Like, these songs are generally a bit longer. Like, there's not as many like short, you know, bangers, like kind of grindier hardcore songs.
Yeah.
There are a couple. But yeah, just like, I think we spent more time on some of these songs for sure. Like, some of them were completely rewritten. A couple of things, even in the studio, were like changed around. But yeah, I don't know. I guess this is like the most metal sounding record we have. Definitely the longer songs and like the all around vibe of it. A lot of mid tempo type shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to agree with you.
Not terribly different, but more fine tuned. Yeah.
I'd agree with you on that, and the whole thing just feels more dense, you know. And like you said, some of those longer songs, those like, well, it goes with the album title, you know. There's kind of this lurching. I don't know the you know how that title makes sense when I listen to this, and it's
sure.
It's it's hard to verbalize, but there is something that definitely sounds different from the Yalcha that I heard in 2013. But like you said, not by a long shot. It still sounds like the same band.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
sounds like a
For sure.
It sounds beefier, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, man, it's yeah.
So with you guys putting out this record next week, is there anything? I assume with a label like Relapse, they've got they're not having as many issues with production. But you got this has probably been in the pipeline for quite a while. But anyway, regardless of that, what are you looking forward to with the release of this record now that you can't? I mean, specifically, I guess you can't right now play, but you know, you can't, touring's off the table. So what's the exciting part about putting out the Lurch?
You know, we, like I said, we recorded January of last year. So, you know, the band has been hearing these songs, you know, even in their final form, mastered for like almost a year now.
yeah.
And then, you know, over a year. And we're just really, I'm really excited to let people hear the whole thing. You know, like we, first big thing we put out in several years, recorded in a different place than we recorded the last few things we put out. So it, you know, the recording itself sounds different. The production's different. Yeah, I honestly don't really know what to expect. Like, I feel like the type of people who are already into the band and the type of people who would normally be into a band like us will be stoked. But, I'm just curious to see what the reception's like myself. I honestly have no idea. But very stoked to like share these songs. Like I listened to the record and I was like, yeah, I like this record and I'm in the band. So that says a lot, right?
Absolutely.
No, I'm excited for it to come out, man. It's just kind of like, yeah, very unknown. And like you said, there's no touring, to support it. You know, that's where like bands on our level sell records is on tour. So it's, I'm really curious to see like how that goes too.
Yeah. And you got the Relapse factor as well, though having you've been in, you know, a couple, well, it sounds like a couple bands who have put records on higher visible, how do I say that correctly? Record labels with a reputation, right?
Sure.
Like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, like Colin put out the last couple of records on Death Wish. So
right.
That was, you know,
yeah, like that was going to be my
the
reference.
The biggest label I've worked with personally.
Yeah, and there's people that buy stuff just because it's on Death Wish. And I'm sure there's people that buy stuff
exactly.
just because it's on Relapse.
Oh, yeah,
and yeah, it's.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm sure some people have like a Relapse bot. You know, everything that comes out, they're like automatically goes in their car or something like that.
God, that's so much stuff. Those people got to be rich as hell or broke as hell, I guess. They'd be broke as hell.
Yeah.
Shit, I could go on a thing about all those records they put out. I buy stuff that I had no idea. Oh, sorry, that's my cat feeder. The automatic cat feeder's kicking in. You hear it?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Anyway, okay. So, but that's a good spot to wrap it up on. Thank you for taking the time to have this conversation. This record's awesome. I don't know if I mentioned that enough. I've listened to it a lot.
Hell yeah, man! Thank you, and thanks for having me on. This is a fun conversation.
Awesome. Well, hey, good luck with the release. Hopefully you guys get to get out there and actually tour. I don't know if you're booking shit yet, but I know some people are. So if you are, I hope whatever you got in the pipeline works out. If you're not, keep doing whatever the hell you're doing.
Hell yeah. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, man. Later.
See ya.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Kyan. And the song you just heard was Tethered, which of course is off of The Lurch, which is out now and available everywhere, courtesy of Relapse Records worldwide, baby. I'm sure you've heard it by now, but in case you haven't, it's about time to check it out. Glad that they're back. Hopefully they're out there touring soon. Seems like the rest of the world is getting back to that. Lots of shows and tours being announced all of a sudden, and it's the floodgates are going to burst eventually, and we're going to be oversaturated, and there's going to be a whole different thing that we get to complain about, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, so that's going to be it for this one. I'm glad we were able to get this episode out there. It's on a Tuesday. I think the first Tuesday release of an episode of Getting It Out podcast in its history. But that's okay. Now we just need to do one on a Thursday, and I think that's every day of the week. I probably haven't done Saturday and Sunday, but I don't know. Who knows? That's goals, right? Squad goals. Singular squad goals. Anyway, go to at getting underscore it underscore out underscore podcast on Instagram. Follow that. Gettingitout.net. Under wraps, soon to be revealed. Maybe, who knows? I've been saying that for over a year. And I say that for over a year as well. And facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast. Thank you for checking it out. I'm going to end you with the song. I'm going to end this episode with a song from Allentown, Pennsylvania's Orphan Donor. Are you familiar with Orphan Donor? They're a Pennsylvania screamo or grind act. Screamo is the worst name for a band. Let's just call them grind. Even though it's not necessarily grind, let's just call it grind because I hate the term screamo. They've got a new LP called Unraveled. It's coming out in June through Smegma Beach, but that's not correct. It's Zegema. It's something, it's that word, Zegema Beach Records. And this song is called You Were Alive. This guy, it's Jared Stimpfel. Man, why are things so hard to pronounce? Anyway, it's this guy. He's the drummer of Secret Cutter, who you might be familiar with. And this is his solo project. The song is called You Were Alive. It's off of the album Unraveled. It's coming out in June. Just listen to the song. We need to get this one over with. All right, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.